We're going to, if you've got a Bible, you can turn to the beginning of the book of Revelation. And we're going to read a little bit there. And really what I want to do this morning is kind of sort of gather some things together. Partly some things which have already been said by other people, things which have been referred to, even just during this week. And I want to kind of try and bring it together for us. And I'm just struck by these accounts, again, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, as kind of letters to churches. We probably know this. And this is kind of referred to as the revelation to John. So this is a revelation from the Lord Jesus to John, and he gives messages, if you like, to seven different churches. And those churches, it tells us here that they're in Asia. That's not Asia as we think of it, but it was a part of Turkey. And there's these actual seven churches in locations in real time with actual people in them like you and me. And he wrote to them, kind of made things known to them that was revealed to him by the Lord Jesus. And I encourage you to kind of read the first chapter of the book of Revelation, give some context, some understanding, message to the seven churches, and this vision that the Apostle John had. And what I want to do is I'm going to read the message that was sent to the first church in this list of churches, and I'm going to read the message that was sent to the last church in this list of churches. They're not necessarily kind of in order in that sense, but we're going to kind of bookend the messages to the churches. And one of the refrains that goes through this beginning part of the book of Revelation, it says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that kind of refrain goes through this book, really, this passages. And so I'm just going to read. So one of these churches is in a place called Ephesus. And real place, like I said, real time. I like to make this point. And it says this, beginning of Revelation chapter 2. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write." So he's been given something to write to a church. Churches are the people. We know this. "So the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this, 'I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." So that's one church, specific message, specific to them. And it's also kind of relevant all the way down through history to different churches at different times. And then I'm just going to read this other one and then try and show us why. So this is the last of the seven churches to receive a message, and it's to this church called Laodicea. "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, 'The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God,' says this." So you'll notice in that first church and in this church and also in all the other churches, is making this point initially, who it is that is speaking to the church, and it's God. And he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. And he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we read these two messages, which are being sent out, if you like, through this man John, from God to churches. And like I say, we've kind of bookended the first and the last of these. We could read them all. But what I find as we look at this, and there's different things that are represented, different messages. Each of these churches are in different conditions, if you like, different places in their particular moment in time. And here's a phrase that Johnny used, and so I'm going to bring this in. And he said this, we are where we are. And it's just like, oh, that's simple, isn't it? And it's just like, it's just noticing. It's just like, we are where we are. And as you read through all of these messages to all of these churches, there is a very real sense in which God, through the apostle, speaks to the church. Each of these different churches. And as you read it, and if you like, kind of like in summary, because there's a lot of background to all of the comment, if you like, that is made on these different churches. But essentially, when you kind of like look at it and you boil it down of each of these churches, you can have this thought at the end of it. And what he's making clear to them, and he's highlighting certain things, and certain things seem to be good and rich and positive, and other things in other places they're really not, and there's all kinds of stuff that you can identify. But you're left with this simple thought. For each of them, we are where we are. It's a kind of real simple thing, but it's worth doing sometimes. It's worth just highlighting, focusing in, and it's like, guys, we are where we are, and it's okay. And you know what we find? As often as God did that for each of these situations, for each of these churches, he gave them a point of response. Do you know God does that? He's willing to highlight the reality of where we are, either as individuals or as churches. And then do you know what he does? He gives us, we could put it like this, he gives us a way of escape. He gives us a response. He gives us an action, a point of obedience. And it's just like, well, where we are, and we're not staying there. Yeah? We are where we are, but we're not staying there. And that's what he's done for all of these churches. And again, just kind of in quick summary, as you go through, you find that in these different churches that are highlighted here, we find that there is, shockingly, a church here that's referred to, really, when you summarise it, as the loveless church. That's like a contradiction in terms. And so it's kind of dealt with really strongly. The loveless church. How can there be a church without love? They've left their love. And we find within these churches, these seven churches, the persecuted church. And we find, and again, It's like, take a moment and take this in. We find within these churches, and actually more than one, we find an immoral church within these churches. We find the church of false teaching within these seven churches. We find the church of great reputation, but dead spirit, spiritually dead. It's incredible. We find also, this is a good one at this point, we find also within these churches a church of fervent love. And it's just like celebrating that. And we also find, and we read about this, the half-hearted or lukewarm church. And we find, I think, in every age, there are representatives of all of these churches. And in all of them, God gives an answer, a response, a way forward, a hope. And I love the fact, and it's hard sometimes this, but I love the fact that God does not hide from reality. Have you noticed? In your own life, God doesn't hide from reality. One of the things that is part of the character of God is God has this ability to look straight at the reality of things as they are, whether in our own lives or within his own bride, his own churches. He has this ability to look and to see what's actually real in a moment and then give a positive and hopeful way forward. And he does this, and we're grateful because we need it. But this is what he does, and this is what he's done here. And so we find, and this is what I want to do for us this morning, we find that we are, City Church, Chester, we are where we are. It don't sound very profound, does it? We are where we are. It probably does when Johnny says it, but it's like, we are where we are. It's just like, it's simple, but it's real. And I want us to get this. It's just real. It's our reality. And so when we think about this and we think, well, we are where we are, what does that mean? Where are we then? Where are we then? City Church. And there's all kinds of reality which is the part of the answer to that question. And there's something in me, as we kind of begin to gather again out of lockdown and restrictions and all kinds of things, and it's kind of like, oh, here's a moment. Here's a moment to identify, where are we then? Because when we recognise and are willing, as God does, to look at the reality of things and to be like, we are where we are, and yet in the same moment of that revelation of where we are, there is this understanding that God in his faithfulness is taking us somewhere. And do you see that? What was that? Reaching. And there is something in us and in our hearts and in our gathered collective of faith which is reaching out after God and his way forward for us. And as we do that, we're going to just recognize some stuff. And it's like, we are where we are. That is to say, this is our reality and it's okay. Sometimes it's good to identify some stuff, and I'm going to do that for us right now. So, one of the things that's happened, Harry, stop tickling Joe. One of the things that's happened over the last season, and it's just as you read, this is why I did it, right? Read through the book of the beginning of the book of Revelation and all these things to these churches, and God's willing to look, and he points to stuff. This is fascinating. He points to real stuff in real lives, and he's like, look at that, and look at that, and look at that, and then look at this moving forward. And one of the things that's happened, this is where Matt tries to not get too emotional. One of the things that's happened over the last season of our little gathering, that was actually a slightly bigger gathering, that's one of our realities, is that two out of three elders left the church right at the beginning of lockdown. And there's reasons for that. But nevertheless, it's a reality. It's like in a moment, something that was not anticipated by me, I don't know about anybody else, but by me happened. And it's like, guys, let's just acknowledge that, it's okay. That was tough, that. That was tough. And there's even stuff there that I don't understand. And it's tough. And it's just like, it's all right. It's all right, I'm doing this on purpose. We're taking a moment to acknowledge our reality. We are where we are, and it's okay. It's okay. So that's one thing. And then do you know what coincided? You do know, because you walked through it. Well, one of the things that coincided with that moment of reality, lockdown of the nation. It's like, that's a big one, isn't it? Same time, lockdown of the nation. It's like, guys, that's happened. Significant moment. And then what's happening next is you can't gather anymore in person to encourage one another, to walk through in that kind of like hand-to-hand kind of a way. It's like that's removed now for a bit, and it's just like gone. You can't meet anymore. Lockdown. And it's like, that's just a bit of a like, that's a full stop, isn't it? Lockdown. And that happened, obviously, not just to us, all over the world, all over our country. And one of the things that happened during lockdown, social distancing, separation, that was hard enough in itself. It's all right, it's going to get better, stick with me. And another thing that happened, other people that we know and love and continue to know and love and care for, they also moved on from our little gathering. And it's just like, and again, there might be reasons for that, but I'm just flagging it up for us. Guys, this is real. This is real. You know, when you love people, it's real when you're not walking with them in the same way anymore. And it's okay to acknowledge that. We are where we are. We are where we are. And, yeah, kind of all kinds of social distancing implications and difficulty. Still people amongst us that are grappling with that and deciding what they can, their response, faith response to that reality. Still, so impact continues in this moment. We are where we are. One another thing in terms of we are where we are is, as you know, we've been considering kind of who the Lord is bringing into place for eldership going forward. And so that's something which is progressive and changing and will be implemented. And we're thinking about that. It's part of our, we are where we are. It's part of our reality. Connections with things like Mission Life Grace are kind of going on and helpful and positive. And people have taken encouragement from that. Do you know another one? Excuse me, Mari. Mari's interning. In our little gathering, and it's just like, crack on, girl, that is really wonderful. And it's just like, it is. This, we are where we are. This is part of our reality. And it's like, God knows what he's up to, and we're going with him. We are reaching out for him. That there, sorry, Mari, that is an expression of our reaching out after God as we move forward together. It is, and it's wonderful. And so one of the things that we've done, you'll have noticed, simplify. We've kind of simplified things a bit. That's partly been necessary, but it's partly been a joy to do that. It's been helpful in different ways, and we've kind of simplified a few things. We are where we are, and it's all right. It's good. So it doesn't end here. All of these things that I have mentioned, which are both the kind of challenging and difficult and kind of heartbreaking things, and there's other things in there which are definitely things that are joyful and hopeful and looking forward, and we celebrate. And there's all of that mixture of heartbreak and happiness. That's life, isn't it? That's reality. God deals in reality. I want us to own this morning. God deals in reality. What's yours? What's yours? What's your reality? And there'll be a whole story there. And I've got one. You've got one. As a church, we've got one. We've got a reality. We've got a moment. And it's okay. We are where we are. So I'm going to just mention this little thing again, because I did this at the beginning, but it comes from a quote, a poem, and it's just this simple thought. A man's reach should exceed his grasp. And again, as I talk about these things, our reality, there is, it necessitates within us as God's people that we are reaching out after him and what he has for us. We're not just kind of grasping at that which is easily within our grasp. That's not enough. But we are reaching out after God in the things that he has for us and the things that he speaks. And time's going to like beat me as usual, but I'm going to highlight three things for us. These are specific things, and I think that's helpful. And I'm going to give them to us. And so part of these three things, this is our, we think about, we are where we are, we've identified some of that, now what do we do next? How do we move forward? What are next steps kind of thing? And that thought, and I've three things that I'm going to give to us. I haven't plucked these out the air. I think that they are real, and they are for us. And the first thing is represented... you might have noticed a little bit, so this is like a gentle thing, you might have noticed the chairs are put out slightly differently this morning. Did you notice that? Pete said to me this morning, oh, it's inspired. It's just like, I reckon. Why? Because it's a picture. One of the things that, just as we kind of, what we want to do, as we're just us together in close, we don't want to put out all the chairs in big long lines and there's a person over there and a person over there and a person over there. That's not our reality right now. It actually was once, not too far ago. But now, in this moment, this is our reality. So what we're doing in this reality, do you know what we're doing? We're gathering in. We're gathering in close. And we need to. It's deliberate. And I think this is very much of the Lord for us. And so we might have moved the chairs, but there's a lot more to it than that. And Rachel was sharing this little thought with me about chairs and togetherness. And actually, one of the things that can happen out of the way that we've had social distancing and all of that going on in our lives, and that kind of can build something into us psychologically. And do you know what we need to do now? Deliberately gather in. City Church. Relationally. Together. Gather in. Gathering. Do you know, as I was having that thought separately at another time, and it kind of came to me in a slightly different way, and but you know, when, long time ago now, but when I used to play rugby regularly, and one of the things that would happen sometimes, obviously if you're playing a team sport like rugby, you are, by definition, part of a team. So there is a team around you, people that you're with, and you're kind of like engaging in your sport, in your activity together. You're not doing it separately and independently, you're doing it together. And do you know what? Sometimes, if you're playing that kind of sport, do you know what they do? Maybe things have been a bit tricky, a bit difficult, not quite sure whether we're going to like win this match. And do you know what they do? Sometimes they call a bit of time out, and then they huddle. It's just like they kind of get together, and it's just like kind of get our heads together. They'll kind of put their arms around each other, and they'll have a chat about what's coming next. What are we going to do next? How are we going to move forward? And the thing is, all of those people that have kind of huddled up together, and they've gathered in close, and they're talking out what they're going to do next, they've walked together. If you're part of a team, if you're part of a rugby team, a football team, whatever team you like, but if you're part of that, you haven't just turned up for the match. You don't qualify. You haven't just turned up for the match. You've been there. And you've walked together with others. You're part of a team. And sometimes as part of that team, you just got to huddle up. You've got to gather in. A gathering close. And we're going to talk to each other. And we're going to kind of like communicate next steps. This is what we need to do now. Do you see what that fella's doing over there? Do you see where the battle is? It's like we're going to focus there. We're going to do this. We're going to engage. And we're going to do it together. And it's just like gather in. Gather in close. Huddle up. And so that's one. Number two, I'm going to try and do this quickly. Number two, and you can read through Ephesians 6. Pete mentioned this a few minutes ago. You might have noticed there's a battle. There's a reality for you. I mean that. That is a reality. It's not just a biblical concept, it is a reality. There is a battle. The battle is a spiritual battle. And we must engage spiritually together in that battle. And there's things that we can do in that kind of a way. But I wanted to highlight a point for us in this. And again, Johnny kind of touched on this. It's something that God exercised my heart about a little while ago. And it's kind of comes out in this simple phrase. And it's this. And it came to my own heart. And so in a sense, it was like, Matt, comfort will kill you spiritually. Comfort will kill you. What does that mean? What am I driving at? And if you take this thought, and again, I'm kind of speaking in pictures this morning, but you take this thought and you think about Ephesians 6, and you read through that passage, and it's talking about spiritual battle, spiritual engagement, that current reality. And then it identifies different clothing, different armour, different weaponry. We've got some weaponry in our house, don't we, boys? And we've got, like, bows and arrows, and Steve donated a sword, and there's all kinds of things, but, like, weapons, right? Weapons are real. And one of the things that you'll find in Ephesians is a sword. Sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And there's a lot there another time. But sword. And I want to paint this picture for us, right? Sometimes when warriors have battled for years, are you still with me? Sometimes when warriors have battled for years, they can settle. They can settle. David did this, the King David. And you know that settled place was his point of vulnerability. It was. It was his point of vulnerability. And here's the thing. Sometimes sometimes you can feel like an old warrior, and you're not really, but you can just feel like you're a bit of an old warrior. And you know what? I've got this kind of picture. Old warrior, right? He's got his sword, and he's still got his sword. But you know what? He's found a little season in life where he's found a settled place. He's got a comfortable cottage. The fire's on in the hearth. And he's using his sword to, like, poke the fire a bit. And it's, like, warms the house, and it's nice for everybody. But let me tell you this. Weapons are for war. Weapons are for war. Are you getting this picture? Sometimes we can settle. Pete talked about this a while ago. You can settle down, and that which was intended for war, you just kind of, like, warm in the family. And it's just like, come on. There's more than this. There's more than this. Weapons are for war. And God has given us spiritual weapons, and we are to use them spiritually. We are not to settle down into a comfortable place where we are just kind of like got the slippers on, sitting by the fire, and it's all nice and cozy with the family. I love all nice and cozy with the family, but I know this. Weapons are for war, and they are for using. And I want to encourage us. I want to exhort us. Pick up that weapon which God has given you. And they are, in the sense of Ephesians 6, they are all of those things that you find there. And in other ways, God has given to each one of us gifting, ability to fight and to engage in battle, which God has given to you. Pick it up. Seriously, this is our reality. Pick it up. How has God called you to fight? I can tell you how God has called me to fight, and it will be different to you. God has given you things, pick it up, and let's engage. Let's reach out. And so that was number two. Number three is this, and these things go together. So we're going to gather in close. We are going to be engaged for war. And here is one of the other things. I'm not going to focus so much on this because I talked about it a while ago, but it is a now thing from the Lord in terms of moving forward. Hospitality. It is. This is all part of the same plan and the same picture. Hospitality. And again, this is a reaching out to those who may be currently strangers. There is a reaching out, but all of these things go together. I am going to wrap it up, but listen to this. Gather in, sharpen up, and reach out. Are you with me? Gather in together, collectively, as our family of faith. Gather in. And there may be in some of us, even in this moment, a feeling of separation, a feeling of periphery. Do you know everybody in a crowd can feel peripheral? And it's like, no, no, I'm going to gather in with my brethren. I love you and I am here for you in God. But I love you and I'm here for you. And it's just like all of us could look at one another and be like, I love you, Pete, and I'm here for you. And it's like we're going to walk together and we're going to continue. Do you know one of the things that there is within this? There is love and there is commitment. Gather in. I'm going to love you and I am committed to you in God. And so we're going to gather in and we're going to be in love with one another and with him and committed to one another. So gather in, sharpen up. Spiritual life. God wants to grow us in spiritual life. And again, there's like another, you know, whole sermon series in there. But spiritual life, we engage spiritually. And within that, sharpen up, because we sharpen up one another as we gather in. Steel sharpens steel. We gather in, part of our sharpening is our togetherness. Spiritual life and what? Purity. You find that in the chapters of Revelation that we read. Holiness. Purity, walking in light, leaving the dubious, and walking with God in the light and in purity. So gather in, sharpen up, reach out. Reach out again, I'm just going to highlight it for us, but hospitality. And when we think hospitality, again, we're thinking here, but we're thinking others. Hospitality, highways and byways. Highways and byways, I've just got such a heart for the highways and byways these days. I feel right at home with those guys, whoever they are. And but it's like all of these things. Gather in, sharpen up, reach out. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you take us right in the reality of where we are. Thank you that you are not afraid of what's real and what's there in a moment, in a life or in a church, but you look with piercing, loving gaze and then you give an answer and you give a way forward. And we love you for that. We love you for your speaking, for the hope that you bring. And Lord, we just want to pray as your people that all of these things that we've tried to highlight this morning, we pray, build them in amongst your people here. That we would be a people that are gathered in primarily to you, but to each other. That we would love one another. That we would lay down our lives for one another. We pray that out of that there would just be this just sharpening up for engagement in battle. Lord, as you work and as you build and as you grow us for your glory and for your kingdom, we pray. We pray, Lord, for each of us here this morning, that as we have relationships and connections and moments of opportunity with others who don't know you, that we would learn again and again and again just how to show hospitality, how to reach out in kindness and love, and that you would gather in to yourself those that you would build into your kingdom. Amen. Amen.